America, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Coming up, teach the children and teach the babies. Hey, wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world to Bring Back the Family. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? First, we want to acknowledge the scripture with that. Acknowledge God's word with the scripture, and then we'll get right to it. And the scripture reading is going to be love in action. And that is Romans 12:9-21. Romans 12:9-21. Love in action. So love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to revenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Hey, wake up, everybody. And that song, I love it, Wake Up Everybody. It says a lot, and it should give us a lot to think about when it comes to our youth and the support that they need. And it's a song that is a call for people to wake up to what's going on around us. It's a call for us to get engaged and make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time. And it's a call for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenge and the changes and support and sacrifice, just meeting people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who is willing? So listen, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution all around the world. And all they need is a good foundation. Okay? And the foundation, as parents and communities, comes from me and you. Okay? That foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Okay? A good foundation. Okay? So what do we propose? Bring Back the Family proposed that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block, okay? We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? Block by block. It's time to... just roll up our sleeves, time to ante up. It is simply just giving back, giving more than what we had, okay, because it's a different time now. It's a different day and a different time, different generation, different mindset, and we just have to, you know, get with it and just meet them right where they are, you know, and try to understand what it is that they're feeling, what they're going through, and what our world has let our children that, you know, we brought into this world, what they experience and what they are able to get away with these days, you know, what they're letting them do. But we have to be in charge of our families and our homes early. We can't just let them get out of hand and let someone else come in our household and run it. We have to run our households, okay? Don't nobody go know what's going on in your household but you. So we have to run it like we're supposed to and get a hold and get our kids back. How are we going to do this, you know, giving our youth what they need to make it? We're just going to start from scratch, the basics, with just some simple being able to care, giving them some simple love, care, and sharing, and just being concerned about them, okay? Some encouragement, some meaningful conversation, positive affirmation, you know, just letting them know who they are, that they're strong, they're beautiful, they're smart, intelligent, and that we need them. We need them for what they need to be doing for their generation, and what they're going to pass down to their generation when it becomes their turn. Because if we don't show them how to do it, they won't know how. If we don't show them how to share, we don't show them how to care, we don't show them how to love and help and work and just show them good things coming from us, you know, hearing good things coming from us, then they won't know how to do it. They won't know how to be good, productive citizens. And we're the ones that's the model to show them what a good, productive citizen is, okay? So God wants us to, you know, first he want us to share God with our kids and just let them know that God loves them. You know, introduce them to God. Let them know who God is, because they need God in their lives. They need to know. They need that, as they say, the secular education and the Christian education. Make them well-rounded. So when someone come and talk to them about different things, you know, they need to know how to distinguish what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, and what someone is saying, you know, and how to deal with it, you know. Yeah. Just, you know, pick up some books, some workbooks, all subject workbooks, math books, science books. Start a reading club, a book club, a Bible study, just to encourage reading. Talk to the youth about God and the battles and victories that and trials and tribulations and how we handle our situations, because that's what they're going to need in order to be able to handle all the trials and tribulations that's going to come their way. Yeah, they're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to get, you know, all that we went through, they're going to go through it too. There's nothing new under the sun. So, but they need to know that it's coming and need to know that they do have something that can help them get through it, you know, and that's knowing the Word of God. Yeah, we can't leave that out of our young people's lives. It's just imperative that they have it. It just makes their world so much more solid and well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't they know? They should know everything about everything, okay? Hey, give them some incentive for reading and telling about what they read. You know, if you give them some books and they read them, you know, give you a little book report, or they could just tell you what the book is about. You know, give them an incentive for that. Encourage them, you know, with incentives for good report cards and just anything that they do good and great. And that'll keep them focused and look forward to the reward. And, you know, they'll know that we will expect great things from them. Always expect the great things from them. Have high expectations for everything, and you know, everything in life. Have high expectations for our youth. Okay. So we're gonna talk about behavior. Hey, how were you raised? You know, what did your parents do to make you be able to listen and understand and to make it in this world to get where you are today? Because they had to do something good to impart in you what in order for you to be able to be where you are today. What did they do? Well, I'm just feeling good today. How you guys feeling out there? Let's see. We got Miss Rebecca Johnson with us today. We have Jacqueline Vanderbilt. I keep saying Vanderbilt. Jacqueline Vandergriff with us today. You know, if you want to get in on the conversation, just press 1. And you can get in right from the back in the conversation, you know. Where are we today? Now, where are we today with the youth? What are you doing to help the youth? What are you doing in your life to give back to God, you know, to give back to the community, give back to the youth, to give back to the next generation? What are we doing today to help? I had a conversation with a young man today, and I was talking to him about the show and what it represent, and how if him as a young man didn't have what he needed, you know, what did he think he would be doing? You know, how would he get what he need to make it? If he didn't know how to work, if he didn't have work ethics, if he didn't know how to go out and get a job, and if he was hungry and he was cold and didn't have nowhere to go, not a roof over his head, you know, how would he feel? And what would he do? And, you know, he basically said, yeah, I'll be willing and ready to go and take something from somebody else in order to get what I got. I said, you driving this nice car and you got a young man that don't have what he needs, and he walking and he hungry and he mad at the whole world because he don't have what he needs, and he'll see you in your nice car ready and be ready to take your car and take your life at the same time. So that's why it's so important that we make sure that we make sure. Oh, hello. Make sure that our kids are stable and that they have what it is that they need to make it, so that they won't be out here ready to take what they need from somebody else to have what they need to have. Okay, everybody deserves a chance and to have what it is that God has given everybody to have. You know, we talked about the teachers and the educators and the parents and all whose responsibility is it to make sure that the youth have what it is that they need, that they have good behavior, that they can go around other people and be accepted and loved and helped, you know, because they have good behavior. And, you know, some people don't want to be around people that don't, that have bad behavior. And so if you don't want your kids out there just being a nuisance to the whole world and just having bad behavior where they go and with everything they do, then we have to work on that. We have to start early and work on that from the very beginning. And it's everybody's responsibility to correct our youth, to correct them right where they are. If we see them doing something, you know, we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid because, I mean, they are kids. They're still kids. And and it's our responsibility to help them whenever we can and correct them with anything that they're doing that might not, that might be out of order. Because if we don't correct them, they'll just figure it's okay. You know, they'll figure it's okay and they're doing right, and that they're doing right, and they you know, feel that it's okay because no one is checking them, no one is telling them right from wrong, or letting them see what the difference is. You know, so it's all of our job to teach, train, and correct our kids, because if we don't, even if the teachers have a big responsibility when it comes to the youth. And so if they don't want to be victims of what's going on in the world today and they don't want to be victims of not teaching and helping the youth, then if they don't want to be victims of that, then they need to make sure that they're making sure these kids are going out of these classrooms learning something every day, every day. I don't know how we would be able to just sleep at night knowing that we're destroying our own kids, not, you know, teaching them and giving them what it is that they need to make it, you know, because they're going to come in. They're going to come in to get warm, and they want to come in your house and get warm. So it's important for us to do that, to give them what they need to make it. And like I said, we have Jackie Vandergriff and Ms. Rebecca and anybody else that want to join us, they are welcome to join us and have, you know, conversation with us about, you know, behavior and everything that's going on. Because we were kids one day, and I know that we didn't just grow up on our own. We weren't just put out there on our own and to learn how to behave and how to treat people. It was something that was demonstrated. Okay, it was something that was taken serious in the home. So we want to get back to that. We want to get back to that way of you know, just making sure our kids know what it is and what to expect in society, you know, what it is to be a good community person, a good community citizen, you know. So if you want to have a conversation with us today, press 1. I'll open up your mic. Let me see. You know, I got a really, really, really nice surprise today. It just made me so happy. I was so giggly and laughing about it. You know how you go and you get your kids, they get Christmas presents, and they get when they get Christmas presents and all these toys and birthday presents and stuff, and all they want to do is play with the cardboard or play with the dishes or something. They don't care about all this. And so when I got this old big old bag of stuff today, I was just marveling about the bag. It was so pretty. It had all these beautiful hearts on it, you know, and it was just so pretty because I like bags and, you know, pretty bags and pretty cards and meaningful cards that, you know, just say meaningful things. You know, I go to the card store, and it takes me a long time to find a card because I'm reading all the cards because I wanted to be the perfect card, and then I end up leaving out of the store with at least, you know, 10 cards or more. And so yeah, that's what I got today. I got some nice cards, and I got some candy. Some candy, like my favorite candy, Candy Kisses. And it was like a big giant bag, like 3 pounds, a 3-pound bag of Candy Kisses, and some turtles. And you know, chocolate is a girl's favorite. Yeah, and then I got like some little rocks that said, love and faith. And I just thought that was so cool. And I was just giggling and just so, you know, happy about my little bag. It was a big bag, though. And my car.
Oh, that's so nice.
That it said, yeah. Yeah, and I just started opening up those Candy Kisses and just eating them. Because, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for because I had a sandwich and it didn't taste that good. And so you know how you have to have a dessert after you eat? And so I said, I need a piece of candy. And I was like, I need a piece of candy to get this taste out of my mouth. And then I got a phone call to say, come and pick up this package. And I was like, okay, come and pick up something or whatever it was. And when I got there, it was this big old pretty package with all this love in it. And I was like, oh, man, this is more candy than I asked for. All I wanted was one piece. And it was a 3-pound bag of Kisses and some turtles. And I was like, wow, this is cool. So I shared some of them because I would eat every last one of them. So I shared some with my brother and I shared some with my niece. And if you guys want some, I'll give you some too. And it's like me giving you some kisses like they gave me. They gave me 3 pounds of Kisses, and I'm feeling every one of them. That was so cool. So thank you, because I know you're listening. Thank you. Kisses, 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 kisses back. Yeah, so that just made my evening. It was really, really nice. Yes, ma'am. Hey, Ms. Johnson, how you doing?
I am well. Hi, Sister Kathy.
Good,
how are
good,
you
good.
Doing? You sound like you're doing great.
I am. Yeah, I don't have any complaints. I'm just feeling good after I got all those good kisses. You know, I feel like I've been kissed all over.
Oh, that is all right.
With all those kisses, and I was eating them. I was like, I better stop eating these. Come on, boy. They were getting better and better. And then look, right after Halloween, after I ate up all that candy. Yeah, that was cool. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, yeah, so I don't know what we're going to talk about today. Just talking about behavior and, you know, it's serious with the behavior, yeah, because our kids, they think that they're in charge. They think they're the boss. And they think that we don't know what we're talking about, that we don't know what we're doing. We old-fashioned, and we, you know, we just don't know anything. And we just see them just deadly getting themselves in all kind of messes. and saying all kind of things, and they don't even know that it's wrong to say the things that they're saying, you know. And so, like I said, it's our responsibility to correct them and let them know, nope, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not going to be around me with that kind of behavior or that kind of noise, or, you know. You know, and they learn that stuff, you know. Most of the time they learn it from, you know, from us, you know. Learn what they see from us, and that's what they do, because I know that I'm walking around here just like my mom. You know, whatever my mom did, that's what I'm doing. So I know that I'm walking in her shoes, you know. And so I think that our kids would love to be able to go out in the world and be, you know, the best that they can be, you know. Because that's, you know, I'm sure that they want to be the best that they can be. You know, instead of going out and then people looking at you and thinking like, okay, something's wrong with this person. So, but if we don't tell them they're out of order, they're not even going to know that they're out of order.
You know what, Kathy? Mm-hmm. Sometimes ones that are out of order overshine the ones that are in order. And we have to look at a child and start pointing to them what's great about them, what's good. Tell me something that, and I'm talking about the child. I'm pretending like I'm talking to the child.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one good thing about you as a person. As simple as you getting up every morning saying, Father, I thank you for giving me another day. Or I can change yesterday, but I can change today. Tell me something good about you. Because beneath that surface, whatever shape that child in the wrong direction, I go back to when you said about look in the mirror. And that was so powerful. Look in the mirror, and what do you see in the mirror? What do you, and ask the child, what do you like about in the mirror, and what do you dislike about in the mirror? So because everything, there is something in there. Something in there that wants to come out that's good. And sometimes this other wall that they're trying to put up to pretend like they're something that they're not, this wall is up, but somewhere behind that wall, there is something good about you. I was sitting here, Kathy, you know, we were talking earlier, and we were laughing about the candy because we said, you know, God has this humor. When you got your candy, because you just wanted one piece.
That's all I want.
I truly laughed at Kathy, because Kathy is one that gives, gives, gives. And it came right back on her. And I said, I was so happy that it was, to me, it was a good revenge that God played this joke on her and gave her all of this candy to show her that I give you whatever you ask for. You know, and it was funny. But getting back to what you're saying is that I go back to what you said about looking in the mirror when you told the young lady to look in the mirror at herself. And in that mirror, the mirror's not going to lie to you. The mirror is almost like a picture, and that picture, your expression, tells you a thousand words. So as I was sitting here thinking about, you know, embracing what you have been talking about and what your goals are, I kind of counted how many school days are left in this year, and I might be off, but I kind of see 27, you know, minus the holidays, okay? I might be off a little bit, but in 27 days, a miracle can take place. Now, we did a little experiment in the last 3 days where, and I'm not calling the person out, but where a young man took the initiative to really apply himself and changed his grades within 3 days because he was that focused. Okay.
Wow.
But, and the grades wasn't all his fault. But the thing about it is, if he had took the initiative to do a little bit more research or know how to ask questions correctly, I think it could have been solved a long time ago. But even to that point, we have 27 days. How many of us is going to focus on our child for 27 days to make sure that it takes an hour a day after school, complete all of their assignments in advance, and study an hour with them a day for 27 days. And that's like Monday through Friday or, Monday through Friday here, Monday through Friday. And then December is, all of this is for the end of the year. There's 2 days in that week for December, which it still be Monday through Friday. And then you have, you know, the holidays that, you know, that knocks that off. But it's a total of, from my calculation, and I'm not saying it's right, but it's around about 27 days. Can we pick, and I would like the listening world, if there's some kind of way that they can either email you or text you, to say that I'm on board to, if it's their children, their niece, their nephew, or a child in the church, pick one child to say, I'm going to call that child and I'm going to be on the phone with that child. I'm going to Zoom with that child for 27 days for 1 hour, and we're going to go over their schoolwork and see where they need help. They need tutoring at school for something that they don't know how to do. Make sure that child is getting tutoring at school. And every day, talking with that one child or two children, I ever want to do. And I have two in place, and I'm looking for one more. If anybody needs me to focus in on one child, just 1 hour a day, working with them, I can be I'm a stickler. So, you know, kind but stickler, and bring out the great in them, and start changing 1 hour a day. So when the end of the year comes, your show before the end of the year, when it comes, these children can get on board and know where they stand in their class, their grades are where, that they know that they only have so many days in January to bring, to wrap it up before the semester ends. We can be shining like a star, because every child wants to shine like a star. And I remember this was years ago when this little boy, right now he should be about 16, but he was in the second grade, and he used to pick with kids and fight all the time. And it was because he didn't have anybody at home to help teach him how to read, how to spell, how to do math. And his mother came to me, and she told me that she didn't finish school. So I took the time, and I sat down on the floor with him. And we worked with him learning his ABCs or how to count. And it was such a great thing because when he would go back in the classroom, he could keep up and answer the questions, and he stopped fighting because he was behind me hiding behind that shield that I don't want a teacher to call my name because I don't know the answer and I don't want anybody laughing at me. So I act like I disturb all this disturbance so people won't call me and they won't see my shortcomings. But I would like to see how many people take that challenge to say 27 days left in this year. Can you give a child an hour to tell them you're concerned about what they did in school or what you could help them with, rereading a paper that they wrote and showing them where they need to make corrections or following through that they completed assignments, everything is in on time. You know, then we could see where we're touching base with. We could see where we're uplifting the spirit because you can't introduce them to anything else until you get the behavior in order. And sometimes the behavior is because they feel like they have shortcomings of not knowing how to do the schoolwork. You know, or knowing how to read, or knowing the things that you expose your children to, or not your, you know, they all your children, but you just have all these kids that you share so much with that they have never experienced. Well, they won't know that until we start, when you say blah, 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 you're not saying the whole blah. It's baby steps. How many steps did you step out to reach somebody? You know, and then, but you have to have parents that's open enough to let you want to help their children. You know, well, see, I've had situations where parents didn't want you to help.
Wow.
Sister Jackie, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really a good idea you have there for an hour. An hour a day would make such a big difference. I'm wondering if you've heard of a homework hotline.
No.
There's a phone number you can call. I'm looking at the website now, and the number is 1-833.
Hold on
466. I'll repeat it. 1-833-466-3978. And it's for Detroit, operated by Detroit Public School Teachers, or at least it was in effect at one time. I wish I could hang up and see if it works. But it's Monday through Thursday, 5 to 8 p.m., and maybe that could be helpful.
Wonderful. And that's a good idea if they still have that because we could kind of have these parents chime their kids in on this so they can be a part of that and we hold them accountable for it. What did you learn from? You went to this program called Homework. Were you able to complete all of your homework? And I like that. I thank you for that research. And I am definitely going to look into it and maybe put something out to see how many people would tune into that. Because sometimes parents don't know how to do the homework, but if you have something like this, that can help a child, and sometimes no child, and you have a few kids that focus on to do everything right. But we're talking about the boy and the children. If you don't focus their attention on it, they are not going to do it. They're going to hug the bed and the pillow. And they'll grow up in life hugging the bed and the pillow.
That's that quality time that's needed.
So, you know what? I'm picking. Oh, I got, okay, let me see if this young man gonna tune in with us. Okay, hold on. You all can talk. I'm just going to text.
Okay. Well, I wanted to tell a little story about how I was at the post office with my husband filling out a passport application. And I put my phone down next to me so I could write. And I noticed a lady with two small children. She had a boy and a baby girl. And I guess she had to be about 4 years old. And it struck me that she had a phone. And I was thinking to myself, that little baby children have phones now. And then I noticed my phone was missing. So I went over to the little girl. I went over to her, and sure enough, she had my phone. She had my phone. So I took it from her, and I went back to filling out the application, and she ended up sitting right next to me where I was writing. So I gave her one of those books from the back table at Runner for Christ so she could write, and I had a set of pencils in my purse. I gave them to her and to keep her busy. But a few minutes later, she was hollering, and she was throwing herself over the book because she didn't want I'm assuming that was her brother, older boy. She didn't want him to touch her new book. So I told her, you have to share. You have to share. I shared with you. And she looked up at me, and I could see her wheels turning. I could tell she was thinking about it. And then she let him draw with her. So that was my motherhood moment at the post office. I was very proud of that little girl.
Oh, that's cool. How old was she?
She couldn't have been more than 6. I'm going to say 4.
Oh, okay. And look how they love the they love these phones, and they don't care who they are. They just want them.
Right.
They just want
them.
And
work them.
Yeah. She didn't ask you, just, I'm going to borrow your phone. I'm going to work it out.
I didn't see her get away with my phone.
Wow. Yeah, you didn't even see her take it. She was smooth. I like that. It's like you have to have candy and all kind of things in your bag. You have to almost be a bag lady when you go places because you never know when you're going to run into a little kid or something. You could give them something to help them, you know, keep their attention.
Well, you know, the stuff was in the bag to keep my attention, but I can always
keep a
child busy with what's in the depths of my bag.
Get the most stuff. You can get some more stuff off the back table. There's always something there for somebody. I like that 27-day help, you know. Because kids they like you to be interested in what they're doing in their schoolwork and things like that. They really want you to be proud of them, and they really do want to help and want to know that we're concerned about them. So, like that 27-day help help them make up some grades and make corrections on their assignments and things like that so that they can get some good grades, you know, and that's like working as a team and, you know, having support and like a coach. Because they probably don't, they don't think about that. Yeah. But if you show
and
interest
even if
in them,
21
you know,
days.
And I think that, you know, we should make time to even just take out time. If it's just 20 minutes a day to just talk to our kids to find out what they're struggling with, what's on their mind, you know, what they're thinking, you know, that's just quality time, because you never know what they're going through or what is really on their mind, you know. So, yeah. I like that. We probably need to make something of that, you know, just kind of pass out a little flyer around and say 27 or like you say, 20-day help to find out where your youth is or where your student is at this time. Yeah, that's a good idea. A big old star by that. And then, like you said, what they said, you said they have the home. What is that? The home work hotline.
That's what it's called. Yeah, homework hotline. And we used to give the number out when I worked at I forgot the name of it. Michigan Works. We used to give a homework hotline number out, but if it still works, that would be awesome.
Yeah, let me see. Jackie probably calling right now.
No, I'm not. You know what? I can't. For some reason, you know, the young folks are so savvy with these phones. And
yeah,
I probably
it's not working.
Be...
I just caught it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just caught it. It's not working. Yeah. Well, we're going to give Jackie's number for the homework helpline. She's doing one-on-one over there. And I tell you, it'd be some intense. It'd be really intense. Yeah. She's really serious about this thing. And she chase you down to get you, make sure you on task for what you are doing. Boy, oh boy.
Well, you know what? I was and my the young man should be on now. I'm not going to call him out, but anyway, I was telling him the day that how all the way back to my brother, who is now 10 years younger than me, and he's, I think he is maybe a few years younger than you, but y'all in around the same age group. But anyway, I started out with him and working with him as a little guy. And I used to get, you know, candy back then was, what, 2 for a penny? And so I would put this candy on the table in this nice little jar, and I would empty it out on the table. And I would, with him, I would say, you know, first of all, I got his attention. And then I says, oh, see, I empty it out because every piece I put in there is going to be how well you work with me on with this assignment. And so he got so in tune with it because his mind was on the prize that he started then he started loving it. And from that point on, he soared very well because I used a certain tactic. I don't know why I used it because I was no brilliant teacher or anything like that. But anyway, I noticed with him, and I was telling him the young man's generations, how I would take the time and go into the classroom and sit with them. And some of them were embarrassed, but some of them embraced it. And I have one nephew that's graduating now from the university in December from the University of Michigan, and he got a full ride to go there. Antonio Ward Jr. And he got a full ride to go there, and he is he made the commitment, and he took the gift that he had to go to school, and now he's graduated without a debt. He owes nobody but to reach back and help somebody else. And I noticed that when his cousin would have problems in math, and he was working and going to school and keeping his grade point average up, but he always stopped when he called him to come and teach him his math. So he was like, I'm paying forward. You know, and mm-hmm. I've heard you say that too, Kathy, before. And I remember seeing that from somewhere, that when we reach out to help somebody, we are paying forward for where God blessed us down in the past. Because somebody mm-hmm. paid for us to move in certain circles or certain directions, and we were blessed. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that how blessed I was. And mm-hmm. somebody paid forward for me to be able to have the experience and the memories of a lifetime that some people probably would never share. Or some people might soar above me or farther than me. But the point is, the part that I soared, somebody, I'm paying forward for what somebody did for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you mm-hmm. brought that up the other day, Kathy. You bring so many things up that rings bells in people's heads that at one time they were using that terminology, but you get so caught up in things that you forget the terminology that God put in place for you. And you're mm-hmm. only paying forward for the blessings that you got. You were blessed, so now you're paying forward to someone else to be blessed.
That's right.
And so I like that. I just want to thank you for bringing that up. But it was through a conversation. You were just talking and laughing because you laugh all the time, but that's a good thing because it keeps you balanced. It keeps you, you're so positive with it. Not that you're not serious, but you keep the laughter in there, and then the negativity can't come in through the joy of
mm-hmm.
laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we're just paying forward.
Yeah.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I like that. And we are touching base with our youth and
mm-hmm.
touching base with them. We're just paying forward. And I told one teacher a few days ago or yesterday
mm-hmm.
that the only gratification you have is when that youth graduates. To say that I was a part of this victory. That's your gift
mm.
from God.
Mm-hmm.
When you step out and say, I'm going to embrace you and work with you, and I see something in you, and I'm going to pull the best out of you, that's your gift from God, because that's your gratification, that's your pay, because you could say, I got a stamp on that life. I put a stamp on that life. A piece of a puzzle belonged to me with my name on it, on that child's life, their victory. Walking across that stage, getting a full ride scholarship or a partial ride scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to say I have that diploma. Being able to have the mindset that I'm going to move forward. I'm going to go to the next step. Because you want that child to be able to land that surface and feet flat on the surface and not wobbling on a ladder that's over a bed of water and is tricky, because if you step the wrong way, you can break the ladder and fall into the ocean and drown. But if you have a steady platform, you could cross that old raggedy ladder and be steady. That's the way
mm-hmm.
life is. Life, you could be putting new pieces of wood in the ladder so you'll have a foundation, or you will walk on a raggedy a bridge going across a body of water, and every time you step on a piece of it, you hear a crack, and you don't know when it's going to break and you fall into the ocean. Or you could be placing solid pieces of wood, and whoever come behind you can cross that same bridge with solid pieces of wood and not broken branches.
Mm-hmm.
Paying forward. That's what we're doing,
yeah.
Helping them make that bridge solid.
I'm just thinking, like, how we feel if we didn't have, you know, what we had, if we didn't have a solid foundation or a way to make it, you know, where would we be now, you know? Somebody taught us how to be polite and be respectful and all those things, you know, and so
but see, the
what would we be and how would we feel? Mm-hmm.
It's different. A friend of mine said to me once, she said, you know, we look at this song, 1999. She said, when you come over into 2000, the world is going to change. But the difference with us is that when we came up, everybody, every parent, you would think that they got together and decided on one set of rules that it was in every household, because everybody had to say thank you. Everybody had to say yes, ma'am, no, sir. Everybody had to, definitely couldn't go outside with a head rag on your head. That was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
The boys must be neat. Every boy had a belt on their pants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were different rules for boys than there was for girls. They were a little stricter on girls than they were boys. But the thing about it is, we all were, if somebody else saw you out there, they instantly became your mother or your father.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
If someone told on you, you really got it. Sometimes they would spank you and then bring you home and you get another one. But the point was, there was structure in the community. And everybody knew that you Sunday morning, everybody was in Sunday school. It might have been one or two houses in the neighborhood that the kids didn't go to Sunday school. But every time had to be in Sunday school. And you knew church etiquette. You had to be in church afterwards. Because, see, my mother would say, oh, you don't want to go to church? Okay. You don't want anything for the whole week until next Sunday. Let's see how you like church then. You got up and you did what you were supposed to do. Because you knew those old sisters wasn't playing. But the point is that it was more than just church, because in the household, you had to learn certain Bible verses. And I look at it, and I was talking to my nephew about the 23rd Psalms. My mother used to say, and I didn't know how valuable it was or it is until I got grown, how powerful the 23rd Psalms was. And every day, like a clock, I used to get up before I leave off, say the 23rd Psalms. But then somebody started breaking it down, and I said, wow, look at the coverage. My mother was so smart back then. You know, this is what you say when you're grown, you know. Sometimes you think they overbearing when you're kids because you don't see the big picture. And I tell them, I don't expect you to know what I know because you haven't walked the road. But when you get grown and you break it down and you look at the covering of the 23rd Psalms, you look back and say, wow, my mother knew something. That she had something going on with this that you had to learn. But you had to learn the Lord's Prayer. You had to learn the 23rd Psalms, the 91st Psalms. All of this was embedded in your household. But see, today what's happening in a lot, and I'm not saying I'm a scholar on it, but they're taking the joy out of serving the Lord, and it's not a challenge. See, it's a passion and a joy and something you want to do. And I noticed that certain ministers now talk about having a relationship with God, or having a relationship with God, Jesus. And it's so important, because when you have that personal relationship, you don't have to worry about getting crossed. You don't have to worry about getting lied to. You don't have to worry about your most inner secrets being shared and nobody else know about it. That's the only little personal relationship you have with somebody you can trust 100%. Because a human being you cannot trust 100%. And that's something that we need to share with our young people, for them to know that serving the Lord is not a challenge. Because if you have a relationship with your best friend, then it's a joy that you have somebody you could talk to, and when nobody else want to listen to you or nobody else understand what you're talking about. And going back to you, Kathy, you know, like the candy. I mean, you had a bad taste in your mouth for something you had ate, and you said, I needed a piece of candy. And it was like,
one thing.
But at that moment, you couldn't get any candy. I'm the one you told you needed some candy, and you know, candy's not
I
in
do.
My house.
I was sitting in the car. I was sitting in the car looking all over the car for a piece.
And all of a sudden,
I was like, man,
this big, gigantuous bag of candy.
Gigantic. 3 pounds.
But the message was, is that I give you what you asked for, Kathy. You asked for candy. You didn't say, I want one piece.
Yeah. Man.
I need some candy.
I'm trying to think what I'm asking for next.
That's what not only children need to know.
Be careful.
Right. Whatever you ask for, God will give it to you.
Yeah,
but
he
only
always has.
You're ready for it. But, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's
right.
The thing.
That's
the fun part about it.
Yeah.
Now,
those are things we got to tell the kids. Those are good testimonies to just share with the kids, share with the youth.
Yeah. Share with the kids, because it's something like that. But you know what? I had came back home at that time. I came back home because my mother had got ill. And the lifestyle that I had came back from was totally different. I had gave up a 5-star lifestyle and came home because of a and I at that particular day, you know, I never showed that I was angry, but in deep inside the human side of me, you know, I wasn't pleased with what I gave up and what I came back for, but I was thankful to be able to do it. But the human side of me, the where you were able to finance whatever you want, and then you are back here with not a job at all. And I was sitting in my sister's car, and we was listening to the radio and on the black station. It immediately, a voice came out like it was on another station, a station that I would have never listened to. And so the voice came out and said to me from the radio, they wasn't actually, I don't know if they were talking to me, but it seemed like they were talking to me. Count the times God has blessed you in a day. Write down whether it was a bill, you had the money to pay a bill that you didn't think you had, or if you needed a new pair of tires on the car and you didn't know how you were going to get it, and all of a sudden somebody, you were blessed with the money for the tires, or anything that God blessed you with, you might have got a blessing, or somebody brought you some food, or you got a, were able to get you a new pair of shoes. All of these little things, write it down in a day how many times God has blessed you. And then at the end of the week, count up how many times God has blessed you or came to your rescue when you needed him. You would be surprised at the amount of hours God has taken a special interest in your life and have covered you. And I said, wow. I was sitting there. I said, wow. I never looked at it that way, you know. And I started writing down every day for a couple of weeks of things that the Lord was blessing me with, that that was fulfilling the needs of everything that I needed at that time. So I really didn't lose anything but the freedom of jet setting, you know. The freedom of a fancy apartment, you know. But the thing about it, a lifestyle, but everything I needed and some, when I wrote down on a piece of paper, it was all fulfilled. And when at the end of the week, I said, wow, God, you did all this for me. In 1 week, it was mind-blowing. And I challenge people, if you don't believe me, try it. Start right now for 7 days and write down everything that might have been God stepped in and things were did for you that you didn't know, that you thought about some time back and you didn't know how it was coming and how God blessed you with it. And when you, in those 7 days, I promise you it'll blow your mind.
That's true.
It's above of him waking you up every day. Above him putting a roof over your head and food in your stomach, the normal things. I'm talking about things that, and those things are so important and we're thankful for, but the things that God came into your life and covered you when you did least expected it. If you do that, I promise you it'll blow your mind because it blew mine.
Those are some things that we can probably share with the youth. Telling them things like that, you know, so that they could, you know, look forward to, you know, something, great things happening, you know.
And you know what? It didn't cross my mind. And that's
give them a reason.
And just because of, you know, we talking now, that was 25 years ago. That happened. And it did not cross my mind until this moment on your show.
Wow. We got another caller here. Let me let them in. Hello, you're on Bring Back the Family. Who are we speaking with here? Who's in? Hello? Hello, you're on Bring Back the Family, 8467. Hello, did you want to have a word to say?
Go, bitch, suck my dick.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Good evening.
Number, they hung up. Hello. Hey.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Who is this?
This is Mrs.
Like
Pierce.
Oh, Mrs. Pierce. Hey, we miss you.
Sometimes
welcome,
I just like to listen.
Welcome.
Sometimes
okay.
I just like to listen.
That's not allowed for you.
No.
We have to hear you.
Yeah, I like to listen sometimes. Jackie, she has such interesting viewpoints and a lot of wisdom. And so you can always learn something when you don't always talk and just listen to someone else sometimes. So that's what I'd be doing. But I don't have too much more to add, but just the same thing. It's like your children are an investment, and the last thing you want is for your child to be caught up in this criminal justice system. And if we just continue to be parents and not try to be children's friends, because you'll have the rest of your life to be friends with your children. But right now, they don't need a friend. Right now, they need to be guided. And we can stop this wave of our children going into foster care. We can stop the wave of our children getting involved in the criminal justice system if we just be parents. Stop letting the internet raise them. If you're going to let them be on the internet, be on the internet with them. Pull out these stories that show how much trouble you get into as children and as adults. If you got children in the middle school, it's a good idea to pull off articles that you have read and sort of research and have them read it also and have them write their opinion of it, because this is some of the things that they're going to do with, if they get to college, is current events. And let them learn about this election process. This is very good political science and information for children right now if they're following what's going on in the election process and the politics. Like Jackie said, if you just sit down with your child just 1 hour a day, just one, every day, and it gives them some attention and it gives them a chance to talk and you can see what's on their mind. You know, I mean, I did some of those same things as far as running off articles for my sons and their friends to read, and ask their opinion on it. And sometimes I ask them, just write me a paragraph. And when they write that paragraph, you can see, you know, how their sentence structure is developing. And it's all teaching. And as a parent, if you're not quite sure how to develop papers, and they got all types of things on the internet that you could teach yourself. As parents, we have to stop letting the internet raise our children. I said, we seemed to think it was really great for us coming up. We had our issues, but a lot of times because there were two parents in the family, in the household, staved off some of those problems and issues because it was two people. And one parent wasn't just so overburdened with trying to work, trying to raise children, trying to keep the household together. That's a lot for one person. And so when you're young women, when you're thinking about developing your family, you better think about that. It's not easy. It's not cute. It's not fun being a single parent. It really is not, because you find yourself being the only parent sometime. The young man may go on about, he may help, but you know, that's like a babysitter. He's not going to be there. He may not be there 24/7 like you have to be there. You get ready to go somewhere, you can't just get up and go. Well, that father, And sometimes young men, they can. So, you know, before you choose a partner, you know, make sure that you have a partner that's going to be in it for the long haul. You know, don't listen to in there about, you know, being single, parents being single, like as if this is a great thing to do. You only do that when it's a necessity. But it's not a great thing to do, you know, having children by yourself. Everybody needs help. And so stop, like I said, stop letting the internet raise your children and stop trying to live like the internet, because that's just fantasy. You know, so like I said, but if you want, like my father would say to us, Kathy, he would say, when he see us, he would say, oh, here comes my investment. And because he invested in us, he invested in us, and we, in the end, we invested in him also, because we were able to take care of him with a smile on our face until he went to his permanent home. So,
for sure.
But, you know, spend time with your children. You know, don't have them playing these games all day long. The games, they have a purpose, because they, you know, some of that, you know, like I want my little daughter-in-law, they were saying this, the children are learning how to do coding. She said she learned that in her first year of college. Some of that can be beneficial to them. It really can. You don't want them to be ignorant as far as working with computers. They need to know that. But they need to do this in moderation. They need to know how to do this in moderation as a parent, and that's where your role is. It's still good to go to the library. I know there's not many bookstores in the city, but let me tell you, there's bookstores out in the suburbs. they're still letting their children read books. Okay, it's still part of their culture to read. So. You know, so we got to stop, you know, thinking that, you know, stop trying to be so fashionable. You know, the money that you spend on what they call beauty is not going to be here forever. You know, if you spend $500 on making your face look pretty, then you are in trouble. You know. Stop trying to look like these people on the internet and on TV. Their lives are only real to them. They're putting up a facade for you, because they're selling the products. They're selling those products. You know, it's okay to get glamorous.
Yeah, we have to get them more into business where they can sell their own products.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so instead of being the consumer all the time, they should have their own product that they could create and sell. The entrepreneurs. Did you hear what Jackie was saying about the 27-day help?
Yes, I did.
To help your student to make corrections in their homework and their grades and things like that. Do some turn in some assignments that they might have missed, and just see where they are at that time, and make the corrections that they need. I think that's cool. And then she said she has another spot for a child that needs some one-on-one time help. But, yeah, like you said, 1 hour a day with your youth will make a whole lot of difference, because they will know that you're interested in and what they're interested in. Yeah, that's great.
And then you can see if you do that 1 hour, you can find out where they're struggling and where their weaknesses are. You know, you can find out.
Yeah.
You can see if their reading comprehension is not where it should be. You know, or if they're struggling in math. If you just do that 1 hour, you know, take 1 hour and 3 days a week work on language arts, and the other 2 days maybe on something on mathematics, you know, and then just like I said, writing, because when these young people, when they go out for job interviews, a lot of these places want to see a writing sample. Okay, so, you know.
Yeah, that's important right there, because really every professional job that you're in is going to require you to be able to write. And so need to stress writing and reading more, because if you can read and write, you could talk.
So that's, I guess that's all. And I say, I don't know. I'm hoping that, actually, it's different when you don't, when there may not be any children in your particular area. It's a whole lot easier. Like, I think last year you were saying that because you have lived on your block so many decades and people know you, but you do have new people who don't know you who are trusting you with their children, you know. For, I think, the ones who do not have that, like is this, in my area, there's not any children like that roaming around freely, you know. So, but
they will be. They're probably babies right now.
Well, I don't know if I will be.
They're probably babies right now. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Somebody got some babies around there, so you can still take them some little baby books or something.
Yeah.
Get them started on this girl and give them a hint.
I think after I retire, if I'm going to do anything like that, I'll go straight to the school and volunteer my services. That way, you know.
Okay.
That's what, if I'm going to do that.
Good idea. Good idea. Great. Okay, well, yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about, like, when we were kids, when they did the voting, that we used to be in school when voting was going on. I don't know why they changed it, because, you know, when we was in school, we was looking forward. I know I was looking forward to, you know, seeing my parents stick their head in our classroom, and you know, if you wasn't good, you know, all week, that was one day you was going to be good, because you knew they were coming up to the school to vote and they were going to be peeking in at you. So I don't know why they changed that thing, you know, to have the kids out of school, because at least the kids are aware that what the parents are doing, they're coming to vote. And so that would make them think about, okay, why are they here? They're here to vote. And then they know that that's something that they're going to have to do later. Now, when I went to vote this time, I took three or four kids with me, and they helped me vote, went over the whole ballot with them and let them see, you know, some of the people that we were, I was voting for. And then they helped me, you know, put it in, cast my vote, you know. And then they got their little sticker, so. And they really enjoyed that. And so we was able to see a couple of people that were that was on the ballot that was there to vote. And so I said, hey, this is one of the people that we talked about that was on the ballot, you know. And he talked to them, and we took pictures with them and all that. So, and that was a good thing. Yeah, so they was excited about it, you know, being able to vote. And I said, well, when you get older, this is what you're going to do, so you'll know how to do it, you know. And they was asking questions. So, yeah, I don't know why they took that out of the schools, you know, where the kids have to be out of school. I think that was not a good idea.
Parents should take their children to vote when they vote so they can see the process. And I remember taking my grandson to vote one year when I went and let him fill in some of the dots. And I know like my daughter, she took her daughter for, it was her first time voting, Tiana, because she turned 18, and it was her very first time voting, so she's so happy about that. And I did see your young man out there trying to campaign for the mayor of Highland Park. And so that was great for him. to experience that, to help with a campaign, because one of these days they may work in that field. They may be out there campaigning for themselves. So, you know, that's all good.
They might think about that. They want to be mayor one day. Yeah, they said, well, he's a young guy. He's trying to be mayor. So they were out there excited to help. And who was that, Christian?
Christian and Darius. And they stood out there the whole time. They didn't worry about the coldness. They stood out there with those signs and raising the signs when cars were going by. They did what they were supposed to. I'm so proud of this young man for doing that now.
Yeah, that's Christian and Darius Guyton, and they, Carlton Clyburn, he really ran a good race. He worked hard to try to get the people to, know him, which, you know, he's well known. He really did work hard to try to win this race, and we're just going to keep on supporting him. You know, the next time when he do run again, he probably will win.
I did read the lawsuit that was filed to, and the reason that his name was not on the ballot, and I did see, and they did, the court had ruled that it was confusing. It was just so, if someone passed a law, just for that 1 year, because it's not going to, because what they were asking is not going to be on the, as a requirement for next year. They want them, him and the other candidates to claim whether they were Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, they want them to claim their partisan choice. Right, and so, but they were saying that with that position, which was running for the mayor, they did not have to claim that, because some positions they didn't have to claim what their partisan choice was. And so then the three panel Supreme Court, they had ruled that it was very confusing, and they needed to clarify that more. And so, but by that time, you know, and it was just one man who filed that lawsuit, you know, and he wasn't running for mayor. So I don't understand what his reasoning for that was. And also, it wasn't only Carlton Clyburn's name didn't appear on the ballot. There were 8 or 9 other people who were trying to run whose name also was omitted because of this one thing that they did not check or did not claim, you know. And so, it seemed like it was some in priorities involved in that. And so, but it's okay because those things will come to light. And he's young, and he can certainly go for this again because he's for right. He's trying to move the city forward, and he will continue to do what God is leading him to do. And he will be successful one day. That's all I feel.
Yeah, he's a hard worker, community person, and he's really interested in kids, and their education and things like that. So he's one of our kind of guys that, that love kids. So, Keela, she was successful in her race, and, she's a person that loves kids and has been a good foster parent for many kids, and she ran a great race and had all her literature out, and she had all the little ones out there helping her with her race. She had all the little Bring Back the Family kids. Yeah, Aubrey, Anaya, and Landon Drake, LaVon Drake, Zaya, and Anasia. And Christian and Darius, they also helped. They helped her with our literature, and they went out, and they were just so happy to be able to help. And they worked the polls, and it was just so cool. We got lots of pictures. I'm going to put them up on my website one day, and you'll be able to see all the Bring Back the Family kids in action. Keela, you on online?
Congratulations to you.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to thank everybody who supported me. I want to thank Kathy and the whole Annabelle crew for assisting me. We worked hard, and I think what it showed the youth is if you work hard and your mind is focused on whatever, God will support you. I didn't have support from some people that I wanted to have support from, but it didn't matter. As long as I had God's support and my God fearing family support, you know, I got the victory. So I'm glad about that. So I'm looking forward to the next 4 years, you know, making sure that as a board trustee, we're really overseers of the finances. So, you know, I'm asking God to work with me, you know, to make sure that we're doing, you know, right and making sure the money is right and, you know, a couple of things right quick. What the principals and the administrators had some of the teachers to do. Some of the teachers are not, well, a lot of them do not live in our district. So what they've been having the teachers to do is, you know, come in our community, visit our community, you know, see, you know, where our kids live, see, you know, what they go through on a daily basis. In addition, with training, making sure that not only the students, but the teachers have the training for the trauma and the behavior, you know, things as well. So I'm looking forward to working for the kids and working for the community to make sure that we're on top of our kids' education. But it was, like I said, a hard race. And going back to doing things like some of the things I used to do with the boys, one of my uncles, he was a collector of the Jet magazines. They don't even make them anymore. So when the kids would come over, my, you know, all the kids, the foster kids, my biological kids, when the kids would come over, they always wanted to come over because they knew we would be doing something. And then after the work, we would have, I would have some type of incentive. So I would have them to read the Jets. A lot of Jets focused on popular popular black people. So I would have them read and, you know, after they get done reading the article, I would have them write a couple of paragraphs as to who this person was. And another thing I would have the kids do with the newspapers, which of course everything is digital or whatever, but I would have them, you know, reading the newspaper and articles in the newspaper, clipping out coupons. And, you know, those are things that, you know, that really don't even exist that much. But we do have to, you know, kind of figure out a way how can we get back to those things. So I just, you know, wanted to, you know, make a couple comments. And I just thank, like I said, everybody again for their prayers and their support. And we made it.
Yes, so you did. Yeah, it was a hard work. It was a hard job. And those kids were out there working like they was working for themselves, and they really had a good time. And they were glad to do it. So we're going to take them out, and we're going to celebrate with them and let them know that they did something great and that you're going to do something great when it comes to the kids. So thank you,
again,
Ms. Keela.
Thanks again.
Congratulations. And we know that you're going to do your best at, you know, because you are, you love kids and you love, you know, you have their best interests at heart. So we're going to be praying for you and the whole council, the whole board that they, you know, y'all work together in like minds and get the things done for the youth, you know, not think about themselves, think about the youth at all times. Okay, thank you.
Amen.
All right. Well, we have a lot of things. Got some resources. I just want to say we had just mentioned that we had John McFaul's funeral services on Wednesday, and it was a great service. And, you know, his children were there, beautiful children. And like I said last time on the show that I dedicated to John, it was that he has a brilliant mind, and he has brilliant children, and they're really smart, and they're beautiful, well-mannered, and just good attitude, good personalities, and just very respectful children. And they are going to, you know, do something good in this world and be good examples and good community people that's going to, you know, reach back and bring up the next generation. And that's what it's all about, raising your kids and, you know, to be good community citizens. And that's what he did, and that's what he left. He left a legacy. He left some good children behind, and he didn't want to go, but, you know, God had another plan for him. He didn't give up. He never gave up. He fought to the end, and then, you know, God just had another plan for him. But he left his children, and they are going to carry on and do whatever it is that they need to do to make great marks in his life, that he, just like he did, helping people and being instrumental in just people being able to learn and get some things that they need to get. So yeah, you know, that's all we need to do, is just, you know, make sure that our kids are okay before we leave here, that they will be able to be something positive in somebody else's life, and just do something good for God before they leave here. Just, you know, reach back and help someone else to come up. And that's what John did. He made sure that his kids was well educated, and made sure that they knew how to help, and he helped a lot. So, and that's all, you know, we can do in this life, is just do, treat people well, love people, help people, help our youth, make sure they have what they need to have, you know, have a peaceful home, love your husband, love your wife, love your family, and just love on each other, you know, and life will just be, it'll be just that, it'll be loving. So I just wanted to say that. We're just going to keep praying for him and his children, Jasmine, Jacob, Joshua, Stephanie, and Orion, five children he had, and they adored one another, and so we're going to pray for their strength, okay? All right, amen. Let me see. So have a few resources. The Matrix Youth Services, it's like an after-school program. They're going to come on and talk about it one day. Before COVID, they had after-school services for the kids. And so now they're starting to start back up, and they need the kids. So if you have kids that need after-school services, they have on-site services, anger management, conflict resolution, substance abuse awareness, academic enrichment, computer training, career preparation, individual counseling, okay, anger management, okay, yeah, and more. And so they're trying to get their program going back. And you know what your kids need? Tutoring. They need the services that they need. They might need to talk to somebody. You could call 313-831-7927. That's 313-831-7927. Okay, and that's the Matrix Human Services. They're going to come on one day and talk about everything that they're doing in the community. And they were the ones that were sponsoring the golf outing with Golf Today. And then this month, the Science Center
is having, let me get it so I can give you the right information. All this month is free to get into the Science Center. They're going to have some hands-on, let me see. Okay, let me find it. Some hands-on, something to do with Fords, okay. Okay. Yeah, hold on one second. I'm trying to find if I find something. Okay, here we go. All right, anyway, the whole month of one free journal mission, Michigan Science Center, is going to be free for the whole month of November to the 30th. Has to do with Forks. I want to find it. Let me see. wait one second here. Then I could tell you exactly what it is saying. Anyway, it's some hands-on stuff that Forks is supporting. Here we go. Okay, Michigan Science Center will be open its doors for free to the public on Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th, a special free playful learning weekend. Michigan Science will host a variety of playful learning activities, including Build the Change and special experiences in Spark Lab and on the Science Stage. This event, sponsored by Ford Motor Company, is part of the Michigan Science Participation in the Playful Learning Network and LEGO's Learning Through Play Initiative. Hours of operation are 10 to 4 p.m. Guests will not be required to have a reservation, but will need their voucher to enter, okay? So you can call them in. I have a few tickets, so if you want to go, you can call me, and it's for the whole month of November. Okay, if you want to go, you could call me or you could call the Matrix Center, Matrix Human Service Center at 313-831-7927, 313-831-7927, or you can contact me, okay? So those are some things that we're going to do this weekend, me and my bringing back the family group and some other things, okay? Okay, Pastor O, you around? We have gone over time, and let me see, where are you, Pastor O? We are ready for you. We done took up the whole show, and now we need Pastor O. Okay, let me see, my mouse is doing all kind of stuff. There you go, Pastor O. Oh, there you go. Hey, Pastor O. Awesome.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm good. Good. I got my throat all cleared up and everything.
Good deal. Good deal. What you been doing? You probably been, you know, giving out some good candy to people and, you know, making sure they all sweetened up. Making sure they all sweetened up and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, little baby sweet cake.
You and Holy Ghost. You and baby sweet cake, Holy Ghost.
Sweeting
the people
up. Lives.
Yes, sir, Pastor O. It's been a good show today, so hey.
Yes,
whatever
it
you
is.
Got for us, we love to hear it.
it started out with a lot of good stuff tonight. Just a few points, a few things that I picked up on. You know, when you talked about our behavior and how it affects our youth, and you know, we teach them with everything that we do because they're always paying attention. They can't help but. Mm-hmm. You have to excuse my voice. I've been preaching, counseling, and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little bit left. But anyway, they're always paying attention to us. We might not think that they are, but they are. I learned that all you have to do is just watch them, and you'll see you in them. I had a chance to talk with someone the other day, and one of the young nephews or had picked up a saying and now is going to school with that saying. And so they trace the saying back to the home. And so that's where it came from. So we have to, they worship us. They look at us as miracle workers. We can make food appear in a refrigerator that tastes good. We can make cereal appear. We can make donuts appear. We can make hot dogs appear. To them, we're like gods to them, okay? Because they look to us. They don't know him, but they know that we're supplying all their needs. And so they admire us. And so they want to mimic us. And they do. And so whatever we do in front of them, like, you know, you ever notice that all the words you say around kids, the ones they seem to repeat when you get in the company of other people, is the curse words. Those are the words that come out. And then, of course, it gets laughed off, but they learn that. And, of course, where did you learn that at? Well, where do I spend most of my time at? And they learn so much from us. I learned this from teaching kids in Sunday school, that they learned they didn't like Sunday school because their parents didn't go. And they didn't feel like they should have to go because they don't go. So they devalued it just like their parents devalued it. Their parents didn't go to Bible class, so they didn't go to Bible class. Because they've been around them and looking up to them for years. And here's the problem. When they get to a certain age, and they start to understand words like hypocrite. And then they look at their parents. And I shared this because it stuck with me that I was observing a parent, and I guess the child wanted to protect me from being deceived. So the child came over to me and said, what you seeing right there? That don't happen at home. So in other words, it was like that in church, but it wasn't like that at home. And their child was in my Sunday school class, so they didn't want me to be deceived. They wanted me to know the truth. Mm-hmm. So they weren't, it confused them because they were seeing one parent in church and another parent at home. And so, so that was really powerful when that, and I wrote that down, our behavior and how it affects our youth. Because from age 1 to 3, they're like sponges, right? And they're going to pick up most everything they're going to get in life right there. And then after that, that's how they're going to view life. And that's why we have so much trouble with our children. We don't know it. By the time they were 3, so much was already inculcated into them, and they're using that to go forward from there. That's what they use to reason with, the why I should or shouldn't with, and then, of course, everything else they see. And then when they start seeing the hypocrisy, well, then they learn to be hypocrites. They act right in front of their parents. I mean, tell me if this is not true. We acted one way in front of our parents, but when we was in the street, we was talking different, walking different, used different words that we didn't use at home. And all of that was learned behavior by the time we got 3. And then from there, we just became. And then we come to church and we get serious in church. And then now we got to start unwrapping. Like a mummy covered in ribbons of not right living, okay? But then if they see that, like Tony Evans, it's, his father got saved, and he had to start unwrapping, and then his wife got saved, and then the rest is history. You got the Evans family. Same thing with Joel Osteen. His family was just pagans. His father turned around. The rest is history. So examples mean a lot. And then I'll crack that when you talked about the phone, when Rebecca was talking about that little child who got her phone. Well, I was in church one Sunday, and we sit on the back row, right? Me and Maggie was back there. And one of the little, one of the deaconess daughters came to the back and said, "Can I see your phone?" And, of course, I was getting ready to say no. And then I thought, oh, she think I got one of them phones. So I handed her my phone. Oh, Lord have mercy. She didn't know what to do with it because, you know, it's an old flip phone. And she just flipped it open and started trying to make it slide. She asked me, "Where are your apps at?" I'm like, "Well, it was just something else to try to see her use that phone." And exactly what Rebecca did happened. She gave me my phone back and got a pencil and some paper and started drawing on it. And so that's what that, I just cracked up when I heard that. And then when Jackie was talking about trusting God, and when she was talking about remembering how many times in a day that God bless you. I mean, and you'll begin to see, like she said, it was so powerful how intimately involved God is in our daily lives. We will see him almost that. If you do what she said, you're going to see him at every turn. You're going to see him wake you up in the morning because you can't do that. You're going to see him give strength to your body so you can stand up and make your first moves throughout the day. And then you're going to see how everything you touch from the time you wake up, he gave you. Everything you eat, he gave you. Everything you use to groom yourself, he gave you. Even the hands and the eyes and the ears, and even if you don't have those things that I just named, he'll give you somebody to do that. So if you start what you do, if you do what she said, you're going to see. Just, you might think God is not involved in your life, but you're going to see exactly how much he is involved all day, every day. When you almost have accidents, but you didn't. When if you had been 5 minutes earlier, you was mad because you're running late. But if you had been 5 minutes earlier, you would have been the one in the crash. My wife and I have ended up in places like when we had our business, something would happen at the house, okay? We couldn't get out the backyard right away. So we are a half hour behind schedule. But because we was a half hour behind schedule, we ran into this person that we would have never run into before because they would have been gone to work. But we ran into them. Our timing was perfect, and we got a new customer. But we were angry because we couldn't get out on time. But we didn't get out on time, so we could be right where we needed to be to get this. So that was really powerful. And the scripture that goes along with that is Philippians 4:6-9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And here's the part that struck me when she said that. And remember what God has already done. And that's what she was saying, right? Remember what God has already done. Write down, and you'll see that he's been blessing you all the way through life. Every time you thought it was all over, here you are today. Every time that you didn't think you would get what you need, here you are today. And so that was powerful. And then, of course, Mother Pierce or Sister Pierce came on with her wisdom. Okay. And yes, I said this in church a long time ago when when smartphones started, and they were giving them to kids. And I knew what you could access on a smartphone. and kids started accessing things on smartphones. The next thing you hear are kids having sex in the back of the classroom on the bus because they've accessed something on the smartphone that they never could before, and now they're seeing things and not understanding them, but they're human and they have these feelings and they mimic. And so then I know we all remember hearing about what was going on in these classrooms, and where did they get the idea for that? Nobody was monitoring them while they were on the internet. And when she was talking about stop trying to be yo, Facebook best. We see pictures on Facebook all the time, like people, everybody rich, because everybody at the best party in town, everybody's drinking champagne, everybody's just partying all the time, but life is not really like that. And those people's lives, that right there is that snapshot in life. That is not an 8-hour day. That's not a 168-hour week. Okay, so we try to live these snapshot lives or try to fit a rap fantasy into our real life, and that's not real. What it talks about in 1 Peter 3, it talks about keeping it real, keeping it 100, and what is important to God. And real quick, without preaching, I'm just going to read it, 1 Peter 3, verse 2 and 4 through 4, and it just says, when they see the purity of your reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold and jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And so when I heard Sister Pierce talking about stop trying to be those, letting the internet tell you who you are. Lecrae got a song out, and part of it says, I'm not the clothes I wear, I'm not the house I bought, and I ain't the car I drive. My identity is found in Christ. And so that's pretty much where we need to go. Get back to your real life. And so, you know, it was a powerful show. It always is. And that's what I grabbed out of that. And see, that when a show links up with the Bible, that's, to me, that's from God. When you can attach scripture to the conversation that's being had, that show is from God, or it won't match up with the word. So this is matching.
Awesome. There you go.
Hey, can I make a few announcements? Just a few announcements for what we got coming up. This weekend, we got our church school at 9 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, followed by a worship service. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate going to be teaching the church school. And we'll be talking about the redemption of Joseph. So you want to tune in for that. And then the service is going to follow that at 10 a.m. Associate Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching. And Sunday, right on Blog Talk Radio, I'll be preaching, and we'll begin in a new book, 2 Thessalonians, the book of 2 Thessalonians, part 1. We're going to look at chapter 1.
Tune in. Same number. Just call in Thursday and Sunday. Look forward to that. It's always a good time. Hey, happy Veterans Day, Pastor Roe, and we thank you for your service, your many services.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Fun days. Talking about remembering Jesus bringing you through something. Boot camp.
I think all our kids need boot camp right now.
Ain't that something? Yep. They have to be bad and get sent to it. I volunteered for it. Lord have mercy.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for your service. I like to say happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service to my Uncle Joe. How old is Uncle Joe? About 96, 94, or something like that? And he got all kind of stars and stripes, and good uncle. And his son, Carlos, thank you for your service. And in the memory of my dad, thank you for his service. And Willie Clyburn and all the veterans all over the world, thank you for your service. Happy Veterans Day. All right. Okay. Is that it, everyone? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Same time next week, Friday from 7 to 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. Just tell somebody else that Bring Back the Family is here on Fridays from 7 to 8:30-ish, 9-ish, to talk about the youth and what we could do for the youth. And because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay, do something good for the youth. Give them a book. Be encouraging to them. Give them something good to look at, and something that somebody to look up to. Give them just give them something, a book. Be inspirational to them. Help our youth any kind of way that you can, because they are our future and we need them. Okay. All right. So I think that's it. Next week we're going to talk about, we got some accomplishments and we don't want to rush through them. So we're going to talk about those next week, all those accomplishments that everybody has, Tony and his creative mind. That Michigan Stater. I went to visit him yesterday up in Michigan State. We had a good lunch and a good time. And we're going to go up there and take the kids up there because he's working in his internship is at the museum, the art museum. And so he invited me and the kids to come up so he could give us a tour. So he's going to come on and talk about that one day and talk about all his accomplishments and what he's doing, what he has created, and what he's doing new. We're going to look forward to that. And then some other things we're going to talk about next week. Okay, so, hey, guess what? We have work to do. Let's get to it, okay? See you next time. Love, love.